T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Behind the net, Kunako with the hit. Daly jumps out, centers, and they score! Brock Nelson! The forechecking of the Islanders does it again. Kunako, Daly setting up Nelson, and the Islanders have erased the early Pittsburgh lead. They're on top 2-1.
I think now, I mean, like, if we fast enough, we win the game. Like, you know, like, it's like, they score like 2-on-1, like first goal, like they score like 2-on-1 every goal, every game. Like, you know, it's like, we need to be faster for sure.
Mike Tirico on NBC Sports, Evgeny Malkin on the Penguins' need for speed. They're not a fast enough team, in his opinion. It's 4:05, brought to you by WeatherSeal Home Services. Just a dollar down can get you new siding. You were going out on a limb if you picked the Islanders to beat the Penguins. Before the series started, we tracked down one guy who put his name on that prediction, Dan Rosen, one of Mueller's friends from NHL.com and NHL Network. And I felt bad because I, like, killed Dan for his prediction. And now I think it's always entertaining when people can kind of put it back on me and make me look like an idiot. So, Dan, how are you today? All right?
Doing just fine. How are you?
Not bad.
Well, you were covering the other seismic upset that has sort of masked this.
Yes. Yes.
The best
and
thing
that is
that
true.
Happened.
The Penguins in the national perspective, you know, sort of get masked by what the Blue Jackets did to the Lightning. That is kind of the best thing that happened to the Penguins at the same time. You know, they went through their 4-game sweep.
Dan, I know you predicted the Islanders to win. I don't think anybody predicted them to sweep the Penguins. I think you've made a lot of money in Vegas on that. But did the series play out in terms of how the individual games themselves went the way you thought it would, where the Islanders just played their game and waited for the Penguins to screw up, basically?
Yes, that's how they've played all year. I mean, honestly, that's what I was trying to tell you guys when you had me on, is that they frustrate the hell out of you. When you play them, you don't get to play your game. If you, you know, the rare times you do, you can pop 5 in on them, right? Because that's just how they are. But when they play their game and they are in your face, and they also in your face a little bit, but also at times they sit back. But then they jump in your face again. Oh, now they're sitting back. You don't know what you're going to get. And they're so good in front of their own net. They're so good in the corners. They've been doing it all year. They frustrate the hell out of teams, and they obviously did it to the Penguins. They slowed them down. You know, so many stats matter, I guess, you know, to tell the story of this series. But, you know, Jordan Eberle scores 4 in 4 games. The Islanders had 7 goal scorers. You know, Matt Barzal doesn't score, but he has 5 assists. The Islanders get power play goals. The one telling stat to me, you know what, that throws you off, but really tells you how these two teams trended in the series. Tom Kunackle had more points than Sidney Crosby. Tom Kunackle had 2 assists. Sidney Crosby had 1. That's it.
Dan, should there be a major shakeup in Pittsburgh?
Well, major is a tough word because you're still going to have the big three, right? I mean, you're not getting rid of Crosby, Malkin, or Chris Letang.
Why?
Well, you're not getting rid of the first. Why? Because they're generational talented players. I mean, they've won before, and there's absolutely no reason that they can't win again.
But
they won a
Stanley Cup without Letang.
They did win a Stanley Cup without Letang. I will give you that. They did. But you know what? Chris Letang, he has the ability, when the team is going, to be a complete game changer. If you're going to make that major shakeup and you want to look to try to trade one of those three, then obviously Letang would be the guy. He's got a full no move clause, I think. So I don't know that he would even agree to it. But there's somebody who said for that. I'll give you that. I mean, Phil Kessel, though, is the one that I would. I mean, you're trying to free up cap space, and Phil Kessel's 31. Maybe his best hockey is behind him. And, you know, there are times in Phil Kessel's career that maybe he just runs his course with the team. I don't know if that's the case or not. I still think he's an elite talent. But that'll free up some cap space. It'll allow you to do different things, maybe change your game a little bit. You know, and then I think what they need to do is in the middle of the team. They need to reevaluate that middle of the team, and do they have enough speed? And because that's what Evgeny Malkin was talking about, through the middle of that team. You know, Hornquist is signed for 4 more years. This is not a fast player, and the game is getting faster, right? Nick Bjugstad was a nice addition, but he's not a speed burner, okay? Those are the types of things. I mean, what are you going to do to speed your team up a little bit to be able to break down a team when they're playing good defense against you? That's the object. That's the difficulty here, I think, for Jim Rutherford, is he's put this team together to win multiple Stanley Cups, and they've won 2, but I don't know that they're at this present time looked at and saying, well, they're a legitimate Stanley Cup contender right now.
Isn't that his fault, though, too, Dan, Jim Rutherford's, because he took some of the speed away, or maybe more accurately, he added slow guys, Ryan Reeves, to toughen up. Gudbranson, who, I'll give him a pass, he played, all things considered, well in this series. The Jack Johnson deal is just not a good hockey player, and I'm sorry, that's just the truth. He added guys who detracted from their overall team speed and the concept. It makes me wonder, and I guess this is more my question, do you think the GM and the coach are on the same page as to how they're building in this roster and what they want this roster to look like?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. I know that they have more talent on this team to get swept. I can tell you that right now. I mean, that should not have happened. So you definitely have to do some soul searching, and you have to do a lot of reevaluation. And maybe that's the case. Maybe Jim Rutherford and Mike Sullivan have to get back on the same page here, because let's face it, the sweep at the end is the bad thing, and that's what everyone's going to notice. They were inconsistent for most of this season. They never really, I mean, there were stretches when they were winning games, but they never really put it together the way that they thought that they would be able to put it together. So when that happens, now you got to go into the summer and reevaluate everything. And maybe that does put a Chris Letang on the trading block. I don't know. I mean, everything gets reevaluated when you get swept in the first round. The GM and coach have to get on the same page. You're right.
We're talking to Dan Rosen, NHL.com, NHL Network. Picked the Islanders over the Penguins. Did not have it in 4, but still had the courage to make the pick, and he was rewarded for it with the Islanders moving on to the next round. How about Matt Murray, who's going to go into the final year of his contract this summer, but that's not what he wants. He wants an extension. He's making over $3 million right now, Dan. Like, what do you think he'd want? When you look at goaltender contracts, he's not going to get Carey Price $10.5 million. He's not going to get Henrik Lundqvist $8.5 million. But if you're the Penguins and you've got these contract and salary cap issues, can you afford to give him $7 million a year like Marc-Andre Fleury is making?
Another good question. I don't have the answer to. It depends on what else they do around him. But, I mean, look, he's won the Stanley Cup twice. He is a good goaltender. I don't think there's a doubt about that. He had a rough series, but, he was – and there were times he was inconsistent during the season, but he's still a pretty solid. He threw up a .919 save percentage this year. That's pretty good. You know, it's not Carey Price good, but that's pretty good. That's higher end in the league. Or he is a higher end in the league. I think he can be better than .919, to be honest with you. I don't know exactly what the league average was this season, but I would imagine it was around that or maybe slightly less. He's got 1 more year left. I don't think you have to worry about Matt Murray right now with his contract situation and whatnot. He's got another year left on this deal, 375, I believe it is. Then he's RFA. He doesn't have a UFA. He's still a few years away from UFA status. I think you have to just let it play out with Matt Murray. That should not be a concern right now for the Penguins. What should be the concern for the Penguins is to try to figure out the middle of the lineup, how they infuse a little bit more speed through the middle of the lineup without losing the skill that they need to have to play the game that they want to play.
Dan, how far are they? I'm going to ask you the stupid 1 to 10 scale here. 1 being they're not far away at all. They're very close. 10 being they are very far away. How far away are they from being a serious Stanley Cup contender again?
Oh, man. I don't know.
Scrap the scale. Do they strike you as a team that's pretty far away right now? Like, they need a lot
no.
of work?
No, I don't think they're very far away. I think that they ran into a team that knew exactly how to shut them down, but that team plays that way. And then I think part of it also was there's a stubbornness. And I thought the same thing about the Tampa Bay Lightning. You know, they ran into a team that had a game plan to slow them down, to limit the things that they like to do, and to frustrate them. And there was a stubbornness in their play that didn't change. You know, they didn't adapt when that team. You have to be able to adapt in the playoffs, and that's why the Penguins won those cups. Their adaptability and their resiliency, and how they were able to come back at times, and you know, players in and out of the lineup, and they just, you know, they were able to adapt to the game on the ice. They were able to get to their game, force other teams to adapt at times. And they just, I think they and the Lightning showed a stubbornness in the first round here of, you know, an unwillingness to change. And that is another thing that has to, that they have to look at there too. And I mean, you can put that anywhere you want, coach, players, whatever it may be. The coach can give a game plan. That's all he can do. He can't exactly get the players to actually play the game plan. It's not moving chess pieces around.
NHL.com's Dan Rosen on the Fan Hotline, brought to you by Armstrong Business. You're big on, like, moving around and changing the middle of the lineup. So then guys that fall into that category right now on this team, Olli Maatta, Jack Johnson, yeah, Patrick Hornqvist, what kind of interest do you think that it would be for those players on the trade market, Dan?
Well, I think Olli Maatta would draw some interest. 24-year-old defenseman signed for 3 more seasons. I think he would draw some interest from around the league. You know, young defensemen are hard to come by. Young defensemen with playoff experience are very hard to come by. So he's one that I think would draw some interest. Hornqvist maybe, because people covet guys who do what he does, which go to the front of the net, you know, bang around, fight the goalie, you know, whatever it may be. You know, but he's 32 years old, and he's I think he's over $5 million a year.
Yep.
Do they like guys that score 3 goals in their last 39 games? Because that's a worry here.
Not producing.
Have concussion issues.
Producing. Yeah, that one's a tough one. That's a tough one. And Jack Johnson's a tough one too. He Jack Johnson plays that type of game where you're like, oh, that warrior type of game, but it's not a difference maker type of game.
Dan, really fast here before we let you go. I mean, we all sort of watched from afar here, and Penguins fans have actually used the Lightning's flameout as sort of solace to lean back on. Hey, at least we didn't set.
Hey, they got 2, and the Lightning don't have any.
Right. So at least we didn't have a record-tying regular season and then completely crap the bed. What was that like to watch it actually unfold? I kept expecting an explosion from Tampa, and okay, they figured it out, and it never even came close to materializing.
No, you know what? The same thing. You know what it was like? It was as if the Blue Jackets had 7 or 8 guys on the ice every shift. They were all over the place. They could have their 3 forwards pinching all the way up, going all the way up on a forecheck, being really aggressive. And then you think the Lightning have a 3-on-2 going the other way or a 2-on-1 going the other way. Nope, their forwards are back. You know, it's like, did they have a 4th forward? And was he just like hiding in the wall somewhere and then he just popped out? It was so impressive to watch how they were able to play as a 5-man unit, that aggressive, in-your-face physical mentality that they have, the structure they had through the neutral zone. And then when they got on the power play, it wasn't that – to me, it wasn't that Tampa was bad on the penalty kill. The Blue Jackets were amazing. They were the 80s Oilers on the power play. They were moving that puck around so fast that the Lightning were just getting out of position because they couldn't keep up to it. It was textbook power play, how to play against a good penalty kill. And it was textbook how to play against a good team. I think they are. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen in the next round. I get it, but they remind me a lot of the Kings of a couple of years ago when they came in and they were just relentless and they got good goaltending and you thought you had them and you never did. That's kind of what this team reminds me of. And we know what LA did, you know, especially in 2012.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously again in 2014. I mean, they didn't lose, basically.
Dan, are you to blame for this?
I'll tell you right now, this room smells of BO. I'll tell you.
I am definitely not to blame for this.
Do we know who? Is there a hockey writer? Was it like Kevin Allen? Can you call somebody out by name?
He was right.
It smelled like he wasn't kidding? It actually smelled like B.O.?
Yeah, it smelled. It really did. He wasn't kidding. He was dead on.
Was it better for game two?
Torts didn't make a mistake all series, and he didn't make a mistake right there.
Better for game two, Dan?
It definitely got better for game two. It was funny. Somebody, Michael Arias from the Columbus Dispatch, their columnist, asked Tortorella the last question, the closing, the Rivera question last night. Asked him, you know, asked him about the smell in the room. You know, does it smell better in here? He was so, or you know what did he say? He said, if you had beer poured on you, is that why it smells bad in here? And Tortorella goes, I got nothing to do with the smell of the media.
Wow. I by the way, I subscribe to He Who Smelt It, Dealt It in general. Like, Torts might have done something there.
I don't know, but it did. He was not joking.
All right,
Dan. It smelled of VO.
Enjoy the Barclays Center for round two. We'll see you.
No. I'm sticking with the Blue Jackets.
Okay.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.